Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it was announced earlier this month that longtime anchor, reporter, and all-around Chicago newsman Jay Levine was shifting to a new role at Channel 2. He's no longer going to be working on the news desk, covering day-to-day news, or at the helm of investigative stories. He'll be working on special assignments for the station. Jay Levine got his start in Chicago over at Channel 7 back in 1974. He moved over to Channel 2 in 1990. He's got a slew of awards to his names, including a National Emmy. Tonight, my pleasure to welcome Jay Levine to the big table. Great to meet you in person. And, you know, I feel like I know you because I've seen you on TV for so many years.
And I from listening to you, Justin, as well.
Well, thanks for being here. Let's talk about, I mean, 1974, you were working already. You were working in radio and maybe some TV, and you made the switch to Chicago. Why Chicago?
Because it was big time. Big, 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 big time. I mean, my first job in television is in Chicago. Does it get any better than that? And I had no idea what I was doing. None. Everybody, you know, you give an audition tape right. When you're trying for a job somewhere. I sent them an audition tape with four TV pieces on them. Those were the only four pieces I'd done in my life. I had done a little bit of substitute and fill-in work at WCAU in Philadelphia, which was a CBS-owned station. And I, at Channel 10, I'd done four pieces. I put them all on an audition tape, sent them here to ABC, to Channel 7, and they hired me. Well, you know something? You know what they say? Be careful what you wish for. Well, here I come to Chicago. I got no idea. I have no idea what to tell. I was a reporter, and I've been a reporter for years, from a stringer for the New York Times while I was in college and right after I graduated from college, to some other print work, to radio news, sports casting. I'd done all of that on the radio, but not on television. So now I come to Chicago. Oops. Well, why do I do this?
Yeah, I better get a suit, huh?
fortunately, a photojournalist by the name of Bill Purdy, a veteran cameraman, took me under his wing and kind of taught me, okay, you stand here. This is a reversal. After you do the interview, we shoot you so we can use it to edit. And, you know, I had said to Johnny Mize, who was the vice president for news at Channel 7 back then, I said, look, you hire me, and I guarantee you, within a short time, I'll be your best. But I didn't parenthetically say, but first I got to learn how to do it.
That's great. So, you know, when you got here, I mean, take us back to the mid-70s. What were the big stories that you were covering? What was news like in Chicago in 1975, 1976?
Well, let's go. 1974, Richard J. Daley was the mayor until he died in 1976. And so I was there for the last days of Richard J. Daley. And I'm a young guy, and how did I prepare for this? I prepared by reading Mike Royko's book, Boss.
Of course.
And Len O'Connor's book. And, you know, tried to understand the lay of the land and what made things tick in Chicago. But, you know, I'm learning what the Democratic Party meant and what the machine was and how people did things. You know, the racial segregation in Chicago, de facto segregation, you know, the fact that it was still one of the most segregated cities in America. And I had to learn all that because you can't build a house unless you got a foundation. And my foundation.
And so, was it books? Was it sources? What was it besides just going to the classics that taught you about Chicago?
Well, it was the classics, and then I lived them, and then I learned them. You know, just like I went to when I was 13 years old, my family moved to Puerto Rico, and I went to high school in Puerto Rico. Well, how do you get around? You learn Spanish. How do you learn Spanish? Well, you pick it up as you go. And that's what I did here.
You learn Chicago by picking it up. Yeah,
you pick it up. And I'm still learning. 42 years later, I'm still learning.
That was my next question. I mean, do you feel like from that experience and all of the various decades of covering the machine and Chicago politics that you understand Chicago politics?
Well, you know something? What do they say? The more you know, the more you don't know. The more you realize you don't know. I mean, there were people, politicians that I won't name, they were smart enough to know that they weren't very smart. So they surrounded themselves with smart people. I kind of feel the same way about myself. I kind of try to befriend and to hang around with smart people so that I can learn a little bit.
Once you felt like you had a better understanding of the city of Chicago, you made a move from ABC to CBS, and CBS is where you've called home since 1990.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost unheard of in television and broadcast television news. you know, there's a lot of jumping around. People have, you know, 5-year careers, 7-year, 10 years. But to be there for 1990, what does that mean for you to be at one station for so many years?
Well, I mean, I was at Channel 7 before that for 16 years. So 16 years at one and then 26 years at another. It's a long time. I guess maybe I'm averse to change. that you know, you get comfortable in a place, and you get to know people, and people get to know you, and you kind of start being able to call your own shots to some extent, and say, okay, today this is what I think I'd like to cover, and they were okay, and I established various beats that I did, things that I knew, and tried to do those and do them really well, and you know, when something big came up, my suitcase was always packed.
It is interesting for you to say, well, maybe you're adverse to change, but that's not necessarily true, because that business, the business of television news, has changes all the time. You're seeing so many different influx of talent, or you know, an executive or so says, you know what, we're going to change the format, we're going to change the set, Jay, change your suit, you know, all this kind of stuff. So there's a lot of change in this business. How do you see yourself as you move through this business, being able to adapt to that?
Well, it's just exactly that, adapting to it. You know, 42 years ago, there was a little luncheonette around the corner here from Tribune Tower called Jerry's. And Jerry, who had a little luncheonette thing, and he just made a practice, a habit of yelling everybody when they came. But next to Jerry's was a film store, a developer. And we had to take our film that we shot back then, where we ran around the city with a cameraman, a sound man, and a light man, and the reporter. And we'd have to take the film over to the film place next to Jerry's and have it developed. It took 40 minutes to develop film. Now I go live on an iPhone from St. Peter's Square. I mean, that's, you have to adapt, you have to learn, and you have to embrace technology. Technology and it has got to be your friend. You're a technophobe in this business and you're done with. So it's embracing change, it's learning change, it's learning things before anybody else knows them. I remember being in, I think I was in Beirut once back in the early 80s, and you know, I wanted the latest, greatest technology. So I had this little brother typewriter. And I somehow figured out how to send scripts from my little brother typewriter with limited memory over the phone back to Chicago, and it would be read out here using acoustic.
You invented the fax machine.
An acoustic coupler. It was an acoustic coupler.
You're MacGyver
on both ends of a telephone, and sent scripts back.
Well, you're a newsman MacGyver. That's what they're like. Get Levine up in here.
I love it.
Let's take a quick break. Jay Levine is my guest tonight, celebrating his career in broadcast journalism here in Chicago. A tremendous career, and just announced this month that you'll be shifting gears. You're not necessarily retiring. You're just going to be doing more
We're not using the R word.
You're not using the R word. Special contributions to Channel 2. When we come back, more with Jay Levine here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Jay Levine. Wow. I mean, just announced this week or this month that he will be moving to switching roles at Channel 2. That's how we'll say it. Switching roles to Channel 2 to special contributor after a long 40-plus year career as a, I mean, I guess daily news. I mean, you did investigative, you've done anchoring, but I mean, you were a face in our living room at the 10 o'clock news. Nightly.
Yeah, I was the firefighter. I was the chief firefighter. Whatever was the hottest, I would go out and do. And, you know, one day it's one thing. I mean, somebody found something on the internet a couple of weeks ago and put it up again. A story that I did on the start of house music in Chicago. And I remember it as if it were yesterday. It was a great story.
You know,
I loved it. Then there was one thing where I kind of conned them into doing something that I really wanted to do. They had sent me to Rome, and I was doing something at the Vatican, and I went back and forth to the Vatican a lot. But on the way back from the Vatican, something happened with regard to the investigation of the death of Princess Grace in Monaco. So they said, could you stop off in Monaco and do a quick story on the investigation into whether the daughter, Caroline, was driving when Grace went off the road and died. But then I knew right near there. Now, I like food. I like to eat. Anybody who's seen me knows I like to eat. But I like to eat. And there was a restaurant there called Mougin de Mougin. And it was in a little town called Mougin, which was a hill town just above Monte Carlo. And I'd always wanted to eat there, and I never had. And I said, you know something, while I'm here, arguably the best restaurant in America right now is Le Francais, Jean Ponchet's restaurant out in Wheeling. I said, I should go and do a meal at Moulin de Mougin. And windmill of Mougin. Moulin de Mougin. I should do a meal with a camera crew and then do one at Le Francais in Wheeling and compare, arguably, two of the best restaurants in the world. They bought it.
I mean, it brings up a good question. I mean, for you, you have to be eclectic in your tastes, and you have to, you know, the old adage of a journalist, you have to be a jack of all trade, master of none. For you, I mean, how much of your life do you think you spent thinking that would be a good story or that'd be a good TV piece? I mean, is it in your blood at this point where it's like everything you look at, you're like, that would be great for me?
Is it any different from you, who probably wake up in the morning saying, boy, I'd like to interview this person or I'd like to interview that person? It gets in your blood. Of course it is. And the beauty of it now is that I'm going to be able to look at the world through my own eyes and not through a camera lens, and be able to kind of stop and smell the roses a little bit and do some things that I want to do and do some traveling that I wanted to do that I couldn't calm the station into sending me. But, you know, I had a story idea the other day, which would be a good one. I was just talking with Michael Kutza, the founder and artistic director and jack of everything at the Chicago International Film Festival. Right. And he just got back from Cuba, where he judged films for 2 weeks. And I said, boy, you know, I'd like to go there. And, you know, my brother-in-law is a Cuban, not a Cuban-American, he's Cuban. Well, he's an American now because he's got citizenship now. But he came over from Cuba when he was 8. I said, boy, wouldn't it be a good story if I could take him back to Cuba and retrace the footsteps of his childhood, a Chicagoan, now one of the leading surgeons in Chicago, going back to Cuba. And then I had said, wait a minute, I'm not doing that anymore, am I?
It's like this cord's not plugged in. That's the guy. Well, Jay, one of the things about you, you've done so many things, and you just in listening to your stories, I mean, you can hear the breadth of your coverage. Philosophically, how do you see yourself as a reporter? I mean, what's your brand when it comes to, I mean, are you the pit bull? Are you the give me the answers because you've done that kind of stuff? Or are you the curious type? What's your brand as a reporter here in Chicago?
Oh, I think it's definitely, I think most people would agree that I'm kind of a pit bull, that I take something and grab it and shake it until it yields the truth. And that's what it is.
Is it hard to do that in television broadcast news? I mean, is it hard to get at the truth in 2-minute stories that you have to put together for nightly 10 o'clock news?
It's challenging. You got to figure out a way to do it. You got to understand the time frame you have and how you do it. But you know, by the same token, you know, I look at somebody, you know, like a Scott Turow, who's writing these great novels based on his law experience, and I could never do long form like that. I mean, Marianne Childers, my wife, says to me, you really need to write a book with all these stories you have. Mm-hmm. And I said, oh, I could never write a book. I mean, that would be sitting down and writing. I mean, now one page. I mean, my entire story would fit in 3 paragraphs on the front page of the Chicago Tribune. Write a book or do something long form like that? I don't think I ever do that.
I mean, for you, I mean, you've been working in this business, and there's a certain style of writing that goes with writing a story for the 10 o'clock news. Writing a story to direct address an audience, you don't have a lot of time for descriptive language. It's real quick.
Yeah,
right? So it's a different kind of writing. Do you like writing for television?
That's what I do, and so I have to lie. I like writing, and I try to do it in such a way that I can really get the most out of the fewest words, because that's all I have is a few words. And you write for television in a different way. There's something that I kind of adapted over the last couple of years, where somebody says something ridiculous, and I say, wait a minute, in the script, wait a minute, did you hear that? And then we rewind it on the air and play it again. So there are these little kind of tricks and things that you can do that you only do in television. You can only do in television, or radio to some extent, I guess, as well. But it's a craft. It's a trade. And, you know, I think I'm a good writer. I mean, I know I'm a good writer. At least for television, I am.
You've had stints in your career where you've been behind the anchor desk. I mean, mm-hmm. You had the morning show with your wife, and you've done anchors, you know, fill-ins, and been the anchor at different newscasts throughout your career. Do you like it? Do you like that type versus the work that you do in the field as a reporter?
I like them both. I do. One, you have to be more versatile. You have to have more range when you're at the anchor desk. You have to be ready for whatever is thrown at you with a breaking story or someone says something you don't expect. You have to be ready with the good, incisive question for the reporter, respecting the reporter who's covered the story. I remember one anchor who will remain nameless. I was out doing a story on stolen cars, and I was doing a live report from the Auto Pound. Down somewhere on the southwest side. And this anchor, whose name I'm not going to mention, took great pleasure in showing reporters that he knew everything.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, stump the baby, something like that. So I threw it back, and he said, "Well, Jay, those cars behind you, I mean, they look like pretty nice cars." And I said, "You know, X, they don't steal beaters."
Right, but
so to come up with good questions for reporters that kind of further the story that they're doing, that's a challenge too. And to get stuff, you know, you can't write everything before you go on the air because stuff is still breaking, and so you have to be able to sight read it and
be able in the moment to ask
present it in a way that it makes sense to people out there.
To me, it's a particular skill, especially in a newscast like that, where you have a half an hour to tell the stories of your city. And the nation and the world, but mostly about your city, as many as you can fit in. I mean, it's amazing to me. So there's not just this skill to be able to read or write the news. There's a skill to manage the news, to push the news forward. It's almost like being a point guard. You know, for you, how much do you relish in that role? I mean, do you think about that? Like, you have to ask the right question at the right time to move this story to the end so you can get to the next story.
To some extent, that's true, I guess. But it's also the way you present it. I mean, there are people, and you've seen them all, that you've seen them on TV, and all they're doing is reading words. They're not communicating thoughts. They're just reading words. And what you've got to do is you've got to tell a story. I mean, we're all storytellers, mm-hmm. whether it's doing a single story, as I do as a reporter, or the anchor who presents a series of stories. We're all storytellers, and you've got to get it across to people. And there are some who've been in this market, through this market, and usually don't last very long in this market. They basically are reading words, and Chicagoans are very, very smart. They spot phonies a mile away.
Right.
And to my knowledge, no phony has ever succeeded in Chicago media. People smell them out.
Jay Levine is my guest tonight at the big table. He is switching roles at Channel 2, as we said, from day-to-day newsman, investigative reporter, anchor, to special contributor after a great run since 1974, 40-plus years here in the Chicago market. Let's take a break for the news, appropriately. When we come back, more with Jay Levine here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. My guest tonight, Jay Levine, longtime newsman. We welcomed you into our homes, as they say, on the 10 o'clock news at CBS2 and at ABC7 for 40 years plus. It was just announced this month that you'll be switching roles to special contributor. Are you going to miss it? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, we don't want to use the R word, but I mean, this is a different, more patient role for Jay Levine.
Yeah, I will miss it. I will miss it. I mean, I'm still checking my phone every time it goes off to say, okay, what's happening now? What's happening now? I'm endlessly curious about the things that are going on. In my mind, I'm saying, well, how would I have covered this? But at the same time, I'm a little bit relieved that I don't have to do it every day, that I don't have to reinvent the wheel every day. Because for me, it was kind of like trying to win an award every day. On every story I did.
That's intense.
I wanted it first. I wanted it most. I wanted it right. And, you know, to me, the measure of success or failure of it is can I look at it the next morning and say, oh, yeah, that was good? Can I look at it next month, next year, 5 years down the road? Can I look at the story and say, yeah, that stood the test of time? So I don't miss that daily competition. You know, a college football coach lives and dies on 12 Saturdays a year. You know, we're judged 200-plus times right. a year on what we do.
Do you see with the new generation of reporters that come in, and I'm sure it is the same, but do you see that same competition, that same... Yeah, I always think about newsman, and it's glorified in a satire kind of way, an anchorman, but the idea of, like, everybody trying to... jostling to get the story, the scoop. I have to get it first. I have to be first. I have to be fast. I have to be the first of the air. Do you still see that in the news business in 2016?
In some people. But, you know, carrying it to the extreme we're talking about, I think is somewhat rare. I mean, I don't think I'm that smart. I don't think I'm that good. I think I've been very lucky. But the way I view it, you make your own luck because you work harder. And if you're willing to work harder, stay longer, run faster than anybody else, you're going to get lucky.
Is there a premium with news execs about getting the story first?
Oh, I think so. I absolutely think so. I mean, we went through a period at Channel 2 a couple of years ago where we kind of devoted the whole 10 o'clock news to enterprise reporting. And, yeah, we kind of gave you what the top stories were in the day and what everybody right. else was leading with. But we kind of focused more on enterprise stuff you might not have seen somewhere else. And, you know, I think especially today in the Internet era where you see the headlines of the day on your phone at 10 a.m. in the morning and by 10 o'clock at night it's old news. It's hard to come up with something new when you're talking about the top stories. Oh, yeah, I've heard, you know, viewers will tune in. Oh, yeah, I heard that this morning. I mean, so you got to give them something else, something different. And so original reporting is what we use as our keyword at CBS 2, and CBS News nationally does it as well. But it's that kind of enterprise reporting that maybe no one else is doing that I think is at a premium.
There was a story just recently in Cranes about how television stations, especially here in Chicago, are adding newscasts. There's a premium on local news. That's become the produced content for television stations. They find it marketable. They find it profitable. Do you see a day and age where the 10 o'clock news becomes the 8 o'clock in the morning news, or the 10 o'clock in the morning news? That becomes the holy grail, the place where you put all your talent. You see there being a shift away because of the way that the Internet has changed news, that the 10 o'clock news may become irrelevant?
Well, Justin, I think that news executives realized that years ago that the morning was the one growth area. And that's the time where people get up and they haven't been looking at the Internet all night. At
right.
least most of them haven't. And so they get up in the morning, and that's where TV stations were putting their money. They were putting some good people. I think that's why Marianne and I anchored the morning together for a while because they were the focus. I mean, the best show on television right now is the CBS Morning News at 7 o'clock. I mean, it is just terrific. And they've got an unusual cast of characters on it. Charlie Rose, who mm-hmm. was an old talk mm-hmm. show guy and an interviewer, and Gail King, better known as Oprah's best friend, and Nora O'Donnell, who's been a reporter for NBC before coming over to CBS. I mean, they give you 22 minutes at the top of that show at 7 o'clock, and I'm kind of riveted to it in the morning. I try to get into the gym by that time so I can watch it as I'm working out. But
so you're seeing national do that. I mean, yeah. National has moved a lot of their stuff to the morning. You see
and the
premiums.
What time do the morning newscasts start in Chicago now? 4:30.
Right.
I mean, we never started them. When Marianne and I did it, I mean, I think we started at 5:30. We did 5:30 to 7, then moved back to 5 o'clock. Now it's 4:30 or 4 o'clock.
It's amazing.
I mean,
Do you see a day? I mean, as you look to the future in your crystal ball, do you see a day where the 10 o'clock news at night goes away?
No. I still think you need those newscasts. I still think you need a newscast of record. I still think you need to say to people before they go to bed, okay,
here's where your world is right now.
Right. Not necessarily here's what happened, but here's where your world is right now. And so I think there's a place for that. But look, when Channel 7, when I was there, became the number one news at 10 o'clock, they were getting, on the average, roughly, a 20 rating. 20 rating was about a million people. So a million people were watching the number one newscast at 10 o'clock. The number one newscast at 10 o'clock right now is getting a 6 rating.
Right.
So with 500 channels to choose from, with news available all day.
On demand.
Fewer people are watching it. But still, it's the most efficient way to spend your dollars, your advertising dollars. It was before, too. But now, if we're getting a 6, somebody else is getting a 0.3. Or 0.1.
Right.
There are just a lot of 0.1s and 0.3s and 0.5s out there on the dial. But still, if you want the most people who are gathered at one time,
this is the place. The 10 o'clock news is the place to be. I'm fascinated by Chicago versus other markets when it comes to local news. I mean, local news gets a bad rap wherever you go. I mean, it becomes the butt of so many jokes about watching, you know, the internet will pick up viral videos of a kid in North Dakota who's messing up a weather report or whatever it is. Where do you think Chicago stands? I mean, I feel biased. I always see this as a point of pride that Chicago has had really strong local news. Do you feel the same way? Do you feel like this is one of the better markets in the country?
I do. I mean, they're rich with investigations. They're rich with original reporting and enterprise reporting. I mean, back in the day, back the Happy Talk news, I mean, there was some of that early on at Channel 7, but that went away soon. It was never like San Francisco, where the station KGO was known. The call letters represented kickers, guts, and orgasms. That was the newscast at night. But I think Chicago was always better than that. And I think, look, it's Chicago's rich journalistic history. From the day we had 7 daily newspapers, the days of the front page, this was all Chicago. The investigations that were done in the Sun-Times and Daily News and Chicago Tribune. I mean, this was the gold standard. And I think to some extent it's still the gold standard for journalism, but just like the newscasts are shrinking, the newspaper staffs are shrinking as well.
Would you tell a 21-year-old kid to get into broadcast news?
I don't know what it's going to be. That somebody is going to figure out what it should be, and nobody has figured it out yet. Given everything we have at our disposals, the instant live capabilities we have on our disposals, the instantaneous desire for news by people every day, figure out a way that television as we know it today will morph into
evolve,
what will
right.
feed that,
right.
and then I'll say, yeah, do it. But if somebody can come up with that, if a young person, you know, there's going to have to be a Steve Jobs in our industry that will figure out how to do that. And I don't think anybody has yet.
Talking with Jay Levine here on The Download. When you come back, I want to ask you about this city, why you chose to live here. I mean, you could have gone anywhere. You spent 40-plus years. You were not originally from here. You know, I ask people at the big table all the time about what Chicago means to them, and I want to get your take on it right after this break here on The Download. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Coffin. My guest tonight at the big table, Jay Levine, who announced this month that he's switching roles at Channel 2 from a day-to-day newsman to special contributor. You know, the question I have to ask, I mean, and I'll ask you, this isn't public relations speak for being forced out. I mean, is that, I mean, we want
to
know.
It's a good and a fair question. It's just that, you know, in thinking about where I stood, I thought 42 years is about right. I mean, do I want to continue to get up every morning and go into an editorial meeting and wage a war every day on a story? And I decided, no. I decided, look, I need some time to step back, to maybe focus on the stories that I want to focus on without the daily need to be on television every day, and also to travel the world a little bit. I mean, it's time. And believe me, when I went to them and told them there were jaws that dropped in executives, people are, you know, normally they want new contracts.
Well, let me ask you this, because Rob Feeder mentioned it in his column about that, you know, they see you as a leader in that newsroom. And what does it mean to be a leader of a newsroom?
I think to set an example, to show them the right way to do things. And I never claimed that I was one. I mean, I'm not the Jimmy Butler of Channel 2 saying I am the leader. If you have to say you're the leader,
you're not.
You know, it's setting an example. It's talking about stories. We have some incredibly interesting editorial meetings at 9 o'clock in the morning where we talk about things like race and crime and government. And figure out exactly, well, what is going on here? How should we cover it? How should we approach it? And I think it's taking leadership in those kinds of discussions, saying things that maybe resonate with people, going out and working hard and coming back and showing the excitement.
And I would say collective knowledge and history of the city. I mean, to be able to work in your role for 40-plus years, you know a little bit about the stories that came before, and that has to be a premium in this business. You hear all the time, and you hear it a lot on gender-based. You hear women have this problem where they get to a certain age, and the broadcast executives say, we want the 21-year-old. Is it the same for men? I mean, is it the same where, you know, I mean, there was that Walter Cronkite kind of thing where, you know, the esteemed elder statesman. But do you see the ageism happening in broadcast news here in 2016?
I mean, I don't when it comes to men. I mean, men can go on and on. I mean, Harry Porterfield left Channel 2 recently and he's like 90. You can go and go and go when you're a man. When you're a woman, you can't. And that's a tragedy. And that's a crime and a shame. That it's different for women. But men, I don't think that exists.
Let me ask you about Chicago. You chose to be here. I mean, news can take you anywhere. You can take jobs, and I'm sure you've been offered jobs in different markets and bounce around. But you stayed here in Chicago. Why?
I love this place. I love this town. I remember when I came here in 1974, people said it was a very friendly place and welcoming place, and it actually wasn't. It was an insular place where people respected and liked their own. And it wasn't until they forgot that you weren't from here that they accepted you here. I mean, I remember doing an investigative series that I thought was pretty good about judges and sentencing, and did some computer analysis of the sentencing patterns of judges, and I thought it was pretty good. And a front page columnist on the Chicago Tribune said, you know, defending some of his buddies who were judges, "What does Levine know about that? He's from New York." So, but
I can always fall back on that,
but
right?
But once you come and get used to it, I mean, I raised a daughter here who thrived growing up in Chicago, now works for Amazon in Seattle, and I loved it. It was a great place to raise a family. It's great walking down the street and people say hello to you and talk to you. I mean, I was in an airport this past weekend flying to see my dad, who's 99, down in Atlanta, and three or four people say, "Hey, Jay, congratulations. We don't want to see you go, but congratulations." I mean, you know, people embrace you. If you're in the media, and I'm sure you found it too, they say, "Oh, yeah," and they put media people, you know, to some extent on pedestals. Not that I want to be on a pedestal, but there's a respect, and I think there's an affection that people have for you. So it's very comfortable to work here. And, you know, it's a city that I think is trying to be better. You know, we have setbacks. I mean, the current police scandal and problems in the police department and issues with schools now, they're issues. But we're also a city that in the last 30 years has elected its first African-American mayor, its first female mayor, and its first Jewish-American mayor. So we're constantly, I think, pushing the envelope. We're constantly trying to be better. We don't always succeed. We stumble sometimes. But this is a city I love, and I love every part of it. And I've been in every part of it. And the people of Chicago, you just don't see anywhere else.
Well, Jay, you said you're going to miss Chicago and covering this city. And I think I speak for the city when I said we're going to miss you. Jay Levine, who's switching to a role of special contributor over at Channel 2, is my guest tonight at the big table. Jay, thanks for being here.
Justin, thanks. It's great to be with you.